welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Welcome to Syosset Library's Turn the Page podcast. We are here with a super meta episode because this is connecting libraries and podcasts with a podcast librarian or a librarian. Please introduce yourself. Tell everyone who you are because I'm doing a really bad job of it.
It's okay. No, even I have trouble explaining what it is. So yeah, hello there. My name is Norman Chella. I am the podcast librarian at Podchaser, which is, if you think about it, it's just a giant database website where we want to record, document, and follow the journeys of every single existing podcast, past, present, and in the future. So if you're interested in starting a show, whatever, I'm interested in hearing how you're going to start the show, who's working on it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And my role, I guess, is as the podcast librarian, which is great as a start, like as a topic, because, you know, like when you're introducing the role, it's hard to describe what it actually is. But my take on it is that when a listener or a podcaster enters the world of podcasting, they want to start figuring out what shows most resonate with their interests. So what will want to capture their attention the most. And the librarian, well, the podcast librarian's role is to streamline that process from A to B, to get them to where they want to be at, no matter what the behaviors would be, whether they want to search by a specific topic or they love the celebrity who's a guest on a show, they want to find other shows where they might be a guest on a show, etc. So at Podchaser, it's a lot of like data wrangling and emailing podcasters to check, hey, who's the writer for this episode? Or like, hey, who wrote the music for this episode? Because sooner or later, the credits, the roles, all this information, someone is going to want to know that from your show. And my job is to make sure that that is as accurate as possible. So there we go.
That is so cool. So how much did this job grow during the pandemic when everybody started a podcast?
Oh, okay. So like to clarify, I am officially the second podcast librarian. The first, I always want to give a lot of my credit to her mentorship. Shout outs to Mayan Plout, who was the previous podcast librarian quite a while ago. I started only as of this year, so in 2022. And even before, and I was already analyzing just the huge rise in podcasts surging, the amount of numbers shooting up from like, I think it was like 2.5 million down to, I think we're at 3.9 million right now shows. So that's a lot of shows to choose from, and like filtering out what's, you know, what's good, what's bad, what's entertaining to me, what's different from me and you, etc. That's been quite an interesting challenge to tackle. Because of one, the surge of the pandemic, everyone wants to start a show, or like every hobbyist wants to start a show. They want maybe a little bit, a piece of that pie where the conversations are shared, which is amazing. That's always amazing. But part of that is in the journey of being a podcaster is one, the exposure, and two, finding that audience. Because just because you have an ideal audience who would want to listen to your show, getting to them is a whole other beast to handle. As someone who's just been looking at this for so long, even before having this title, it's been pretty fascinating because people have been trying to make a lot of inferences about why there are some challenges, whether it's at community level, whether it's at industry level, whether it's like, oh, one company doing this, or like, why is it that listens are counted as listens differently in different platforms? All these like different like rules and regulations and stuff like that. It's a lot of like reading and like backend stuff. That's not really part of like why you should be in front of a microphone. But for some reason, I found that really interesting. And so when I joined Podchaser to become a podcast librarian, that's been my role. My role has just been to check why the pipes aren't clean for someone wanting to go from checking whether or not their show is properly documented on the internet, or because one of the other things that we do is that we want to make sure that all the information on your show is accurate, so that anyone who wants to do things like collaborations, brand sponsorships, etc., when they see your show, they're like, hey, because your show is like information is accurate and everything, I want to like reach out to you and, you know, maybe even give you money or sponsor you, whatever. So it's all these like amazing benefits. Like, we want to make sure that those benefits are like, it results in a win-win situation for everybody. So just seeing that unravel in the past 1 year, 2 years plus has been really fascinating. And since taking on this role, the impact that I can do is just amplified. So yeah, it's a very interesting place where I am now, but I'm also a little bit scared because, you know, still a little many unknowns to tackle.
But that's like one of the things about being a librarian is, yeah, finding and tackling unknowns. One of the things I love about what you were just saying is like your curiosity and your excitement about uncovering things and figuring out why things happen the way they happen is just like peak library joy to me, a librarian joy. And then just, you know, the fact that you're doing this for Podchaser, for podcasts, and also to benefit podcasters is great. A few years ago, I can't remember exactly when, I think it was pre-pandemic, but only slightly, I was doing a chat, an interview with somebody, and they referred to me as a podcaster. And my first instinct was, no, I'm a librarian. And a podcaster second, librarian first. But then as Turn the Page grew, and, you know, then we ended up in a pandemic and Turn the Page grew even more, I started to realize, well, maybe I need to kind of think simultaneously as a librarian and a podcaster at the same time. Like, maybe the two are so intertwined at this point that there's no way around it. So how did you, first of all, were you a podcaster first? Before you took on this role, because I can see that you are, and as your Twitter says, you are prolifically podcasting. So how did you find your way from a podcaster to a podcast librarian? Ask somebody who has only recently become comfortable with the title of podcaster and librarian.
Yeah. Wow. That's a very, very fascinating question, because it's the answer to that I'm still trying to process even until now. So to clarify, I do not have a background in library science. So that's already, maybe to some, that may bring up some assumptions. I might as well clarify my journey. I started podcasting first before I became a librarian. I went from, you know, buying a Blue Yeti and sneaking it into the office at like 7 a.m. for my, like, you know, in an older job, and like trying to record like a narrative podcast, etc. We have like thin walls. So, you know, for podcasters out there, you know, that's a bad thing, because you can hear like other people having meetings and stuff, and then that's like bleeding into it. Anyway, sorry, that went totally on. That's like podcaster habits and quirks. That passion turned into one show, turned into two, turned into three. And next thing you know, associated with my name, I have like six podcast shows, and I started, you know, growing this proximity around me of fellow podcasters and fellow industry leaders who are interested in podcasting. And from my angle, it was podcasting in Asia, because I'm based in Malaysia, I'm based in Kuala Lumpur. So I'm proximity wise, I'm starting to get to know, you know, people from the countries that are closer to me. And one of the things I was interested in is the development of ecosystems of podcasting. Why is it that, you know, a lot of the shows that people most love come from, say, the US or the UK or Australia? Or what are some of the barriers in terms of a podcast pulling through over here and becoming really, really successful? What constitutes a very, very good show? We don't know, because it's very, very contextual. So these are questions that I started taking notes on. I became very, very obsessive with. And I guess that took the, or that caught the attention of Podchaser and what they're doing, because they want to help out with every podcast on the planet. So that's like everybody, like literally everybody. So myself included. And on taking the role of the title, or like receiving the title podcast librarian, even the story of me receiving the title is also pretty funny, because I was catching up with the CEO, Bradley. Bradley's a great guy, very, very friendly guy, and very, very ambitious. And we caught up over a video call, and he offered this role. It's like, would you like to be the podcast librarian for Podchaser? I'm like, what the heck is a podcast librarian? So we spent like maybe half of the catch up just like trying to figure out what that meant. We're like, do you like sort podcasts? Is it like that? Do you take notes? Are you trying to like ask people to join a library? I don't know. And we went back and forth on that title. And we brought up Mayan, who is the previous podcast librarian. And I shared my interest, and then I started and I said yes. The title was, I have to say, and maybe I could get your take on this, the title at first was very intimidating because of the history of the library and the science behind it and the organizational systems and all this amazing experience condensed into this one title. And then all of a sudden, I'm coming out of nowhere. I'm just a guy who like snuck microphones into an office for like 4 or 5 years. And just basically, I just couldn't shut up behind a mic, right? That's like you know, the essence of a podcaster is that we want to get ourselves heard. Suddenly carrying the title Podcast Librarian, and here I am. So that led to a lot of great support from, you know, fellow podcasters and the podcasting community. But it did bring up some concerns. It actually did bring up some concerns. There was someone who reached out to me and asked me, saying concern because I did not come from a library science background or a degree, etc. And taking on this title may seem like, shall we say, a downplay or disrespect to librarians. And it wasn't really, it wasn't emotionally charged in any way, because this person was just concerned about it. So we went back and forth. It was a very civil discussion. And we came to the conclusion that because the title itself isn't librarian, it is podcast librarian, the definition of the title is still not formally placed. So there may be some assumptions because it shares that word, librarian. But I am now in a position where I can slowly but surely formally define it over time to distinguish it from fellow librarians, from librarians rather, whilst giving that respect that librarians so deserve. So I'm really taking my time to like learn from others who have been like organizing books and entries, etc., and just applying those thinking patterns into podcasting, because, you know, that's I've started to notice that it takes a little bit different to tackle that. But like, much respect to everybody. And I wake up with this title to my name, and I'm still humbled by it, because I don't feel like it's a bit like what you said, like I don't feel like I'm a librarian, right? I'm just a very, very obsessive person in terms of podcasts. And it just coincidentally, I just hold this title. So, yeah.
You don't feel like a librarian. How do you feel about cardigans and like comfortable shoes though? Because that's part of being a librarian.
I love that.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, there you go. Honorary librarian. There you go.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Yes. Oh my God. I want that badge.
It's not librarian work, because it is, you know, it's interesting. There is a lot of discourse about it. And I think you bring up some really good points. There's many different jobs that people do in a library, and even people, you know, without library degrees are doing library work. However, then obviously when you're looking at funding for libraries and the people who come down on it, a lot of times the role of librarian is difficult to define, or, you know, the people don't know the difference between, you know, like, okay, well, you went to school for this. That's always a big thing, you know, like what do you mean you went to school? You got a master's for this. So I get it. It's a touchy subject, but library workers and people who do a lot of the work in the libraries don't always have the MLS. And the work that you're doing is just so incredible. It was one of those things where somebody sent me an article about it, and I was like, well, there we go. This is somebody I need to have on the show, because I want to know more about this. And I think that our listeners would want to know more about this. One of the things about Turn the Page, and this is kind of something that's been, you know, a weavy, windy road, is that there are a lot of library podcasts out there. And one of the things that we've had sort of trouble with, and I don't want to say really trouble, because in the end, it's become very beneficial to us. But originally, when the question of audience comes up, the question is, you know, well, are you catering to, you know, like professionals? Are you catering to book lovers? And when we talked about it, the idea was, well, we'd like to cater to library users. And a library user is not just one type of audience. A library user might come in and might want to sit down and use a computer. A library user might want to one day do research on like ancient medieval philosophy, and the next day take out a James Patterson book, you know, and the next day take out a slapstick comedy movie. There's really just not one audience for a library. So what we ended up with, and what it seems to be, is more of like a potpourri or a magazine show. We have a podium for different librarians who have different interests. Sometimes they overlap, sometimes they don't. And our guests and topics range from many, many different things. We've had archivists on, we've had obviously you on, we've had authors on, we've had celebrities on, because the way that we look at it, our users, our patrons, have as many interests as there are stars in the sky. However, that does sort of make it difficult to explain what our focus is. So, I mean, I really do appreciate the work that you're doing, because I can't imagine how much work it is.
Yeah, it's that focus part that really is very hard to articulate. And maybe that's why, even at times trying to explain this, I still get a little bit shaky. And it's not a good or bad thing. I think it's just because you wouldn't want to overwhelm someone when you say, like, if someone asks you, oh, what does a librarian do? And maybe, and you can totally correct me if I'm wrong, maybe someone already has some presumptions, as in like, oh, do you just sort books, etc. For the podcast librarian, I've started to shift the frame from organizing podcasts to organizing the ecosystem in which podcasts lived, because I've had to spend some amount of time not just looking at podcasts, but looking at the behavior of people looking for podcasts. And I guess the equivalent would be for someone to, for library users to come into a library, and as soon as they step into the grounds, you're looking at them and, you know, observing, how do they search for a topic? How do they search for an author? How do they search for a book? How do they, what kind of questions do they ask? Like, even that could be a full thing. So my part of my role is actually just to be this hawk that's just flying around Podchaser and just a general podcast like community. Like, just on, I'm just like, you know, like scrolling on Twitter or something, just looking at podcast Twitter and just being like, okay, why are they asking about reviews? Why are they asking about this? Is this what? Why is this news in the industry really, really fascinating for indie podcasters, as well as, you know, people under specific hosting platforms? Like, even these, like, these are questions that people normally don't ask. But, you know, I, after, for some reason, prompting myself with questions like these lead me to answers that must be addressed. And if they are addressed, then they can potentially be applied. And if I can apply them, then maybe to a certain extent, it would ease the experience. For listeners and for podcast library users, I've also had to look at how they interact with their devices to a certain extent, and how do they, you know, land on the website? What do they search, etc. People have started using lists more often, and they started to communicate with lists, which are basically just collections of episodes or collections of shows. to send an, a message or intent to another person on the internet or family and friends to say, hey, these are my recommendations, or hey, these are my interests. I can now converse with you all of my behaviors, but it's packaged into something that's really, really convenient for you to consume, which is amazing. It's like, I don't want to be crass on a library podcast here, but it's like taking pages off of multiple books, ripping them out, and then putting them into a temporary book, and then like renting them out or like gifting them to a friend and being like, oh, you should try these pages out because they're what I'm interested in. And the modularity of that is really, really fascinating. But how do you explain that to people? Like, that's the hard part. Like, to arrive at that point, There's so many factors to come in. And I words cannot fully articulate the excitement I have for tackling such a grand mission that sometimes I just give up. Sometimes I'm just like, okay, yeah, I just organize shows.
No, your enthusiasm really comes through and I love it. And I think that's like what, again, like that's one of the things, like when you talk to a librarian who just really, really loves figuring things out, there's just this excitement that comes into the conversation and it is absolutely present. This is just the coolest thing. And as somebody with an MLS degree who didn't really think that podcasting was going to be part of my job. Also, podcasting didn't exist when I went into libraries anyway. I just love hearing more about it. It's just so fascinating. And I'm just curious, when exactly did you yourself just get into podcasting? Like the history of podcasts, for those who don't know, when about did they start sprouting up?
Yeah, the tech for podcasting started up, originated in 2004, 2005. So that's around that time. Started off in the US, and then the technology for it started to spread across the world. So South Korea started like learning about the tech in 2005. And so by the end of 2005, there had been around 40 to 60 podcasters. And then that number shot up slowly but surely, because at that time, people were burning episodes into tapes and CDs. The initial audience were truckers who were like, you know, just drivers on like long trips, because they've already had that kind of like passive listening behaviors instilled within their routine. And that's very, very important for definitely for podcast librarian work, is recognizing the active versus passive listenership. But I'll get to that in a bit. So from 2004 onwards, things start to grow, but then the shifts in podcasts in terms of formats. So exploring narrative shows, exploring different like high production, multiple voice actors, stuff like that. I think it started popping up, especially with Serial. So that's in 2012, 2013. And even by that time, this is still a little bit of a bubble. It was still within, say, Western countries, so US, UK. And then Australia started picking up as well as Europe. And then in Asia, things only started popping up then from 2014, I believe, 2014 onwards. I myself started in 2017 when I joined I was in a poetry meetup and someone shared an episode of Memory Palace by Nate DeMeo in there. And firstly, it was a poetry meetup. So I thought maybe, you know, what's a podcast doing in a poetry meetup? Because normally people would be reading things out or they would be reciting things or performing things. But this person connected a Bluetooth speaker to his phone and he played that episode. And even until now, that's my favorite episode of all time. So that compelled me, like that shook me so much to the core that it made me want to start my own show. So like that's like 2017, say March, April, I believe. And I bought a Blue Yeti, snuck into the office, and I started recording. Since I was already writing fictional short stories as a hobby on the side, I thought that I could, you know, repurpose that into a narrative format, because I love the environment of when you're you're narrating a children's book, for example, and you can make voices as you go along. I love that so much. So like that huddling by a fire and just being like, oh, hello, welcome to the Hunger Acre Wood. You know, something like that. I love that so much. And so trying to adapt that into a podcast format was basically a level of commitment I was willing to go ahead with. And I started with that onwards. So that's 2017. 2018, I started becoming very interested in the industry itself. So I thought that I noticed that there was a lack of development in some countries. So when it comes to like podcasting, so I thought that I wanted to reverse engineer why that is so. Why is it that the majority of developments had to be from somewhere else first before it came into this region? And 2018, I started like partnering up with other teams to start like Asia's first podcast festival. So I got to fly to Singapore for that. That was pretty awesome. And ever since then, things have taken off. So since 2017, that's like what, 5-6 years by now? And the fascinating thing about all of that is that there wasn't any formality. My only words of encouragement, my passion, my enthusiasm, my obsession with this medium, my willingness to try to create something, my desire to express was enough for me to release an episode every month, every week, every whatever it is, all the way up until now. And my body of work became my career. And that was the most beautiful part about it. And the liberation of voices through this medium meant that anyone to a certain extent can pursue podcasting, no matter what form or shape it takes.
So go back a little bit to what you were talking about with passive versus active listenership, because that is fascinating.
When talking about podcasting, we always like to compare it to radio, right? To radio and broadcasting. And I understand why, because we use specifically one sense, our ears, to consume these shows. That's great. I don't want to limit myself to that comparison, because there are other things that we have to consider, not only in terms of what organs are we using to listen to an episode, but more so, how do we arrive at that point where we are given the opportunity to actually listen to that in the first place? So things like, what device are you using? Or where are you when you're listening to a podcast? Or when are you listening to a podcast? Why is it that you're listening to a podcast alone? Why is it that when do you actually listen to a podcast with your family? What if like you have kids in the house? Would you want to listen to a podcast in public? Right? Things like that. So we started to come and see these different behaviors where a podcast listener can be split into two types. One is an active listener, and the second is a passive listener. I'll start with passive first, because that's actually more important. A passive listener is someone who can still listen while doing something else. We know this because if we're, you know, doing chores, we're walking the dog, we're jogging, exercising, whatever, and you're still listening to an episode, at first, it might seem strange that you can like lift weights while someone is just talking very intimately into your ear for 50 straight minutes, but people can do it and people enjoy it and people love it. And at the same time, it's beneficial because you are, without a doubt, as a listener, you have the privilege of choosing what shows that deserve to be on your routine. Once you pick certain shows, you start to see, okay, they have a specific release date. They have these hosts who I just absolutely adore, and I love their voice. They're talking about things that I like. And you bring them into your routine so that they can be part of your lives. So you're giving them permission to be part of your lives. Passive listeners do so that they can grow or live in parallel with these shows every time they release a new episode. Active is a little bit different. Active is when you're not doing anything else except listening to the episode. We see this a lot more in video podcasts. So if podcasts have a video element, then maybe they have this show on YouTube and I'm just doing literally nothing except just watching it on my TV or on my monitor, etc. This distinction is actually very important, because when we start to look at podcasts that people like, when we start to look at podcasts that how people are looking for podcasts, active listeners and passive listeners search for podcasts differently. Active listeners will not even look for the podcast audio version on, say, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, because they can't pay attention to just their phone with Spotify open and just looking at the screen to pay attention. They need to have something to capture their attention. They need to have, say, a video compliment. They need to have something specific, a set of conditions to allow them to listen. And for a passive, maybe not so much. There's a lower barrier of entry for them to pick by going to their favorite podcast listening app, and then they pick a show, and then they're like, okay, let me just do something else while doing that. An easy comparison to this is the difference between watching an ad on a billboard and a movie in a theater, right? You're actively watching a movie because there's nothing else. Everything else is black except this movie screen. But then if you're walking by down the street and you see an ad and it's a video ad, then you can still walk down the street, but you're just like paying attention to it a few times. So you're still passively consuming it. That's very, very important. And for me, I feel like it's not being talked about enough because some shows cater to that behavior. Some shows don't. Some shows just depend on the audio segment. And even until now, even if you don't have the active video part, some people do by switching formats. Some people prefer to have like 5-minute sound bites, like 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Some people prefer to have that long form. So you start to see that the podcast listener, just like the library user, just like the person wanting to read a book, just like the person who's interested in all sorts of things, they walk into the grounds of podcasting and they realize that this is a library that accepts universally all sorts of behaviors and individuals and listeners. And your role then as a podcaster is to figure out, how do you make your show attractive to those that you want to attract? How do you become a beacon of which you can pull in the ships that you want to dock at your island, right? Your island of interest, all of your interesting, amazing stuff. So these are some of the questions that I've been like figuring out and tackling slowly over time. And as a podcast librarian, all of that translates to, how can I accommodate for those behaviors, right? How do I bring them to their YouTube channel? How do I bring them to Google Podcast app link? How do I make it so that your show is there's an extra page for your show so that people can point it, go from that page to your website? That will also help you with your journey. So yeah, it's the things like that that have been like circulating in my mind. Hopefully that answers the question. I feel like I went on a tangent for like literal 25 minutes.
No, it was great. It was actually a fabulous tangent. I just love just the thought process of all of this, because this is a lot of what we think about when we really are trying to figure out how to get somebody to the material that they need, yep. B, how to catalog things, see, you know, like figure out what people want. Do people want us to invest more in, say, streaming services that the library can provide, and how many people are still interested in, you know, books on CD versus Playaway? I mean, it's all really important stuff. So, you know, it really does connect to library work.
Yeah. And that to me, I didn't know that, right? I thought it was just, these were just questions where I thought it was just like ecosystem related. It's just like, hey, let's just look at the ecosystem of podcasting. Can I like plug in the holes? Like, what are some parts that are flawed? Can I fix it? So I felt like a plumber. I was just like fixing piping for this whole thing that's called podcasting. And, you know, in talking with other librarians and with yourself too, after hearing that, like, oh, librarians also do this, I'm like, what? I didn't know that. Oh my God. Library science is amazing. Oh my God. And, you know, I also thought about just like, I want to study it. I want to study library science. And looking at metadata design and like information architecture and things like that, because all of a sudden it makes sense. I'm like, oh, okay. You just want to go from A to B, like really, really well. I was like, oh, that's cool. I love that.
Yeah, it really is. It is super, super cool. And there are so many facets. Archiving, for instance, you know, we've spoken to a bunch of archivists for different film companies, and there are similarities, but differences in the way that they do things. You know, like for instance, Disney, they preserve things in a specific way, and a lot of the material they deal with is you know, they have like props and they have things for reference. But at the same time, a lot of it is also just like early drawings and sketches and things like that. And I say just, and that's not belittling their body of work. It's just very different than, say, the Jim Henson archives, where they are trying to figure out how to make a Skepsis puppet last as long as possible, because the material it's made out of is a little bit more perishable. So, you know, like what you would preserve a cell in, an animation cell versus, you know, or paper, a drawing versus something that is felt and foam, is very different. And then they have to go back and figure out how to catalog that and how to help people if someone comes in and they need help with it, you know, how to find it, how to direct them. It's just so wonderfully geeky. And I love every way that libraries and this type of, you know, and metadata, how it all touches. I just get so excited over it.
I've never thought about like archiving like physical objects like that, like, oh, the preservation of it. Oh, okay. I really need to look into that. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, you have to keep it in like a certain temperature, and then there's the acid-free paper, and then it's so cool, so cool. I think it's cool. That's me, and then other people who go into that. So really quickly before we go, and I could probably talk to you about this for hours, but we'll kind of leave it on a good point. Is there a specific type of podcast that is trending really high now? Has there really been, you know, like, I know true crime serials have been popular, but also narrative podcasts like Welcome to Night Vale, which is like a really big popular one, you know, that tell a story, are also popular. Like, is there, so do you sort of watch the trends go up and down, or is there like a steady increase about certain ones?
So this question is hard to answer because of the different kinds of listeners that we get. It's almost as if asking which books are most popular from a specific library, when you know that there's so many different kinds of users, and maybe a lot of them aren't even interested in, say, a specific genre. So we can't really tell if this represents the entire industry. But from at least looking from Podchaser's perspective, we have something called Top 25, which is actually on the website, that covers like the most active, the most engaging, and the most, shall we say, always on the front page sort of podcasts. Some of them range from conversational interview and like they're like business and tech, etc. But there are upticks in narrative, nonfiction, like documentary like podcasts. They have a story. There's a beginning and there's an end. But there are these, you could say journalists, right? They go in and they investigate specific stories. They go from A to B. And that's split over a season or a couple of episodes. And that has always been very captivating. You can think of it as like almost like Netflix, where you have these limited run shows. We found that, or at least for me, just from like going through all these shows, I found that a lot of these episodes, or a lot of these shows rather, are popping up a lot more. And they've been getting a lot more traction. We're starting to get very saturated with a number of like conversational shows. There's nothing wrong with, you know, conversational shows, that's okay. But I think it's because of the desire to have a greater variety of content within the same, shall we say, constraints of behavior for both listeners, like active and passive listeners, that narratives are starting to pop up. And I would say more so with some grounded reality, I think there is still a little bit of preference more towards, you know, documentary style podcasts. Yes, Welcome to Night Vale and like, you know, like shows that are a little bit more on like the fictional side, I'd say yes, that those are also rising as well, but I don't think that uptick is as grand as, say, the first one. So I'll just leave it at that for now, because otherwise I don't want to like, I don't have any guarantees for anyone who's listening in. But yeah, generally though, for the rankings for those formats, they're a little bit different in different regions. So US, definitely nonfiction documentary. UK is the same as well. In Asia, it's starting to become more so of narrative fiction. So the preservation of different cultural pieces and nuances, these are uniquely found in here. So these geographic advantages are actually gold mines for different stories, etc. And you can definitely find them in Europe as well. So if you have like folklore from different countries, and it's one way of creating essentially an oral museum of this country's history through the anecdotes and the told stories, you know, through like different people of different generations. Those are really, really attractive. So those are on the rise, I believe. So for anyone else, for anyone who's listening to this and you want to start a show, those are probably some parts that I would probably like want to tackle right there.
Thank you for talking to us. This has been so much fun. You're welcome back anytime if you just like feel like geeking out about something, because we love that as well. And this has just been absolutely fascinating. I really have so many thoughts in my mind now as a librarian and an accidental podcaster, just about the whole process. You know, I think it's just so fascinating. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no worries. And also, I want to call you out on that accidental podcaster bit. Okay, so here's a fun fact for you.
Sure.
If you have a show and that show has passed 9 episodes, so the magic number, 9. If you've reached episode 10 on your show, you have done better than 50% of all published shows in the world.
Wow.
I think the exact number is like 54%. I think. It's been a while since I've checked that number. I think the last time I checked that number was like probably like a year plus ago. But I remember it's definitely over 50%. So if you have a podcast with over 9 episodes and you're still active up until now, I think you can call yourself a podcaster. I don't think it's accidental anymore. So, you know, I think you've earned that title.
I think, you know, I mean, you have an interest in library science and you're very excited about metadata and cataloging things. So, you know, I could say that you have more than earned the title of podcast librarian, of course. You know, that's coming from a librarian, and it is clearly your job, so I don't have to bestow it upon you, but don't let anybody get too nitty-gritty about that, because your enthusiasm has shined through.
Oh, thank you so much. I'll carry it with me. Thank you.
Once again, this is Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast. Our guest today was
Norman Cella, podcast librarian.
Yes, and we are going to close this chapter.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.